Glory to Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining us. The aim of this class is to gain the art of spiritual life through the teaching of Holy Bishop Ignatius Brancheninov. This study has already transformed many lives, and we hope your life will be transformed too.
In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom and power and the glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and ever, and forever.
Amen.
So welcome back after long break. And it is our first meeting after New Year, so Happy New Year to everybody of you. Before we start, I think that I would like to give thanks or acknowledgement to our benefactors who really helped us with covering expenses for podcast and stuff we needed, especially to generous help, Jinsi. Thank you very much for that, for the support. Then it is our big friend, Deacon Ed from Houston. He helped us with generous gift too. And others who stayed, God knows these our helpers. So thank you to all for this help. We are going to continue on page 142. The topic is prayer. Actually, we started this very long chapter about prayer, and mostly we were talking about what prayer is and what kind of preparation we have to make if we want to pray well. And actually, Brancheninov is going to continue to tell us about other things which are needed to reach pure prayer. And as we go further, I think that we might get totally different view of what prayer is. Maybe not, but it's really eyes-opening topic. So let's start with that. And we start with page 142 and paragraph which starts the fulfillment of the commandments.
The fulfillment of the commandments of the gospel also concentrates the mind and heart in pure prayer, full of compunction, and in its turn, true prayer helps the person think, feel, and act according to the commandments of the gospel. Compassion for your neighbors and humility before them, expressed through external deeds, fostered in the heart and together with purity of heart, especially from carnal thoughts and feelings. These are the foundation and power of prayer. They are like prayer's wings with which it flies to heaven. Without them, prayer cannot lift off from the earth, that is, free itself from the carnal mindset. It is tied down as if in a snare. It becomes agitated, impure, and is finally destroyed.
Thank you. Well, we can see from these words that, even chapter has this topic prayer, or we had another chapter connected with different parts or elements of spiritual life. But as we noticed before, you cannot separate humility from prayer, or fasting from prayer, or other following of Christ, from prayer and prayer from other things, you know, like spiritual life is really complex. Complex building, I would tell this way, that we always have to keep in mind that even if we talk about this specific like topic about prayer, it is always all these other aspects of spiritual life are present there, and we have to keep them in mind. We have to keep in mind this complexity of spiritual life, and it has effect. What he says, we cannot, it's impossible to have good prayer if we live life in which we have, in our heart is filled with hatred or anger. We cannot like pray if we are like slaves, voluntary slaves. We don't fight against impure thoughts, and I don't think not only this like sexual things, but all kinds of impure thoughts which connected with desire for power, desire for glory, vanity, desire for somehow success, for material things. If my mind is running all day only out and searching only those things, it's impossible evening just to sit down and to have good prayer. This is impossible. Well, it's possible to pray, but this prayer will not be like, will be without these wings, as he says. So this is something what we have to keep in mind, and if our desire is to grow and to somehow come closer to this pure prayer, when mind and heart is some kind of unity and stands in like in this silence in front of God, in this awe in front of God. So we have to connect prayer, our life with prayer. And we will see this difference if we try from morning and to pay attention to what we are doing. We try to really to keep commandments, all of them. And even if we fail, but if we are trying, so we will see evening during prayer that this prayer is totally different. So let's try this complexity of spiritual life in our mind, because it will afflict our prayer. Comments or no? Good. Let's continue.
The soul of prayer is attention. Just as the body is dead without the soul, prayer is dead without attention. Without attention, the prayer uttered by the lips is no more than empty words, and he who prays thus is included among those who take the Lord's name in vain. Pronounce the words of prayer slowly. Do not allow your mind to wander aimlessly, but firmly keep it fixed on the words of the prayer. This path is narrow and full of sorrows for the mind long accustomed to wander freely all over the universe, but this path leads to attentive prayer. Whoever tastes of the great good of such attentive prayer will come to love forcing his mind to this narrow path that leads to blessed attentiveness.
I think this is like, I don't know, for many people the same problem, to be attentive during prayer, to keep attention. And he says that it is narrow path, and we have to force ourselves. So it is, we cannot reach, we can complain that we are not attentive during prayer. There are many reasons. If I connect these previous, like these paragraphs, when we try to keep commandments and to keep this complexity of spiritual life during whole day, we will be more attentive. This is like wonderful preparation for prayer, and we will be more attentive. But still, we need to do a little bit more. And Brianchino, he gives us very good, really very good advice. He said that say words slowly of prayer. Slowly, and in this way that to really pay attention to what these words mean. You know that, and because many times it's for us this some kind of sense of duty that, well, I have to finish my evening prayers. You know, this is my rule, what I have to finish. And I don't feel well if I don't do this. So many times when we are tired or we don't have time, or we leave it on the last moment, so there is this some kind of temptation to rush through these prayers to finish as soon as possible. And in this way, we will be not attentive. If he says that we have to say slowly, we can say, okay, but I don't have this luxury of monks to spend, you know, whole day in prayer. They don't have this luxury too, because they have a lot of duties, you know, so we have to, it's not good comparison, but this can be in our mind. So good advice is that you have your rule, so you should get like blessing from a spiritual father that, okay, if you want to do this, but I would say instead of fulfillment of whole rule, take, okay, 10 minutes or 15 minutes. For example, if evening prayers take for me 15 minutes to finish that, so set up even like timer on your cell phone or whatever you have, kitchen. It depends when you are praying. But and to say, well, I don't care if I finished it or not. I will just pay attention. And if I stay in the middle, I will stay in the middle of the prayer room. So to take away this some kind of this weight of this sense of duty to finish what I told myself I want to, this is something that I have to finish, that I have this my goal. This not it should not be goal to go through these prayers without thinking, because it can become like offense towards God. We can offend God through this. It might be sin. For sure, there is no spiritual blessing for us. But to learn this rhythm, to learn this ability to be attentive to prayer, it's good for a while if we have this problem to start with that. And many times it is even like good for us, because for sure you had this experience when you were praying and somewhere in the middle of prayer, one verse of psalm or one sentence in prayer, some like hit you, and it was like, ah, this is beautiful, and you felt, I call it that this God's smile, you know, I call it for myself at this moment, but you feel that, well, this word somehow touch your heart, and you know that this is a special moment, and you know that it is not caused by your emotion, because it came suddenly without your intention and forcing, this moment just came, and you know that somehow this spiritual world touched your soul. In some way, if it was angel or your soul rejoiced in some way, difficult to say, but you know this moment. And many times, because we keep in mind that, well, I have to finish my rules, so we stay just a little bit there and we continue. What is not good, you know, like, I think if this moment comes, just let it be, or it's like, let it like sing in your soul. Stop, don't pray, be in silence, let this moment to, I know right word in English for that, to stop by itself, you know, to disappear slowly, and enjoy this moment, and stay with this thought, you know, you gave, and just not try to work to put to meditation somehow. This is not the goal. It's like you see something beautiful, you stand in silence and in awe, and you're enjoying that. You know, that it is like we see beautiful sunrise, and we don't try to analyze that, you know, what caused that. We just stand and we enjoy in some kind of silence and in awe the same thing we are supposed to do until it disappears, and then continue. And if we have this, if we start to pray slower and we try to put attention to these words, what will happen is that those moments will not be rare. There will be times when even we, it will be like, we will be, our sweat will be like sweat of Christ in garden, these drops of blood, because we will be forcing our mind and our will to concentrate. But there will be many these moments when we will be silent in this all. And it is worthy to try to that, you know, this kind of prayer, because then in this way we start to come to understanding what prayer is. Or praise. And even sometimes it is, even we have like many times we enter to prayer with this long list of intentions, and somehow we worry not to skip any intention, you know, that we won't pray for this, what is right. And as Branchino said, well, this should come in the end of our prayer at first. But always what we can do is somehow, if you have this list of intentions, God knows about those things. I said it before, I stopped me if I did, but there was this nun, she was known by good spiritual advice, very holy nun, and many people visited her, and they were asking for prayers. And then she was asked by somebody, how can you remember all those things? And she said, well, when the person leaves, I stand in front of God and say to Christ, please help. And I put this person to my heart, and this problem, like I let this problem to make a wound in my heart. And then when I'm going to pray, if it is liturgy or other my prayers, I always say to God, oh, I don't remember all those people. But look to my heart, look at these wounds. You know these people. And the same way we can make the same intention, you know, to wrap this old intention, the beginning of prayer. We don't need to say separate prayer for each intention, but we can wrap and to put to heart, and then just to tell Christ, look, I'm going to, I want to reach you, I want to be with you, I want to be united with you, and you will be able to see my heart, and you will find there all my requests, pains, and praises. Everything is there, but I am here for you. Does this make sense? And so it is, well, I don't say this like perfect, but for this practice to attain this attention for prayer, these are good things to do, because then our mind is somehow free and we can concentrate on words of prayer. No question or comments? Great. All right, so continue.
Attentiveness is the first gift of divine grace sent to the one who patiently labors in prayerful ascesis. Grace-filled attention must be preceded by forcible attentiveness during prayer, which must be an active witness of the sincere desire to receive the gift of attentive prayer. The effort of forced attentiveness is burdened with thoughts and imaginings and is weakened by them. Grace-given attentiveness is firmly established. Forbid your mind to be scattered during prayer. Come to hate reverie. Reject earthly cares through the power of faith. Strike your heart with the fear of God, and you will train yourself in attentiveness.
So finally, some kind of good promise is coming, and this Brianchino says also that if we are trying to heart to attain this attention, attentiveness during prayer, and if we really make effort, so we are getting in right moment first gift of God's grace, and this is this attentiveness, attention. And this is like beauty of spiritual life, that when we walk on this path, there is always, it's difficult to walk, but then God gives us this his help, and we can feel that this ability, for example, to pray is growing, and we know that it's not from our power. This is God's grace. But don't think that, well, if we try to start to pray like slowly, as Brianchino says, for one day, and then no gift from God, you know. So, well, we have to be really to show that we are serious about that, and we do our part. Because if I live without attention, and then I start to pray, and I don't try to be attentive, I'm showing that I'm not serious about that. So we have to always, this like this synergy, this cooperation between these our efforts, which are small, even they're hard, but small, but always they attract God's grace, and he helps us. All right, Patrick.
So that's a huge thing for me, is the distraction during prayer. And at liturgy, I'll pick up the little hymn, the little prayer book that has the liturgy in it, and I'll read along, even though I have it so much in memory, but I read it along so my eyes are focused, my touch is focused because I'm holding the book. It's putting more of my senses involved in it, and I liked what it said in here about forcible of attention. I'm forcing myself to pay attention, and by doing that all the time, eventually the attentiveness will become more grace-filled. But it is so many it's so easy for me to, you know, I've got so many things, and it's so easy just to fly off.
Yeah.
And so I try to use that as a an aid to help me, and use the books as an aid to help me focus, and so I don't get as easily distracted. I used to think in the Latin Church, when they put the readings in the missal, you know, that the people had, it's supposed to be a proclaimed word, it's supposed to be a heard word, but now I'm sometimes glad to have that, because it helps me focus more of my senses, the hearing, the seeing, the touching. The more senses you get involved, the more deeply you're involved, and the less distractions come. So that's sometimes what I have to do. And that's why we have prayer beads and things like that. It gets more of our senses involved. And if we force ourselves to do that, then eventually it just becomes easier. I also like what you said before about if you're going through prayer and something hits you, that's God saying, just stay there for a minute. I know some people that say, well, I can't stay there because the rest of the people are moving on. Let them go. You know, God says, right now, this is what I want you to hear. So if the first line of the scripture hits you and you don't hear the rest of the scriptures, that's what God wanted you to hear. And just let it go and you know, catch up when you have time. But, you know, let God speak when he speaks.
Sure.
And again, that's hard to do because you want to kind of be with the group and keep going, you know, and stuff. But sometimes you just let it go.
Lou, you wanted to say something, Lou? No? Okay, sorry. Sure. I think that us, probably each of us, but, well, we should not give up or to go some kind, I think depression is a strong word for that, but even if we cannot, we caught ourselves that our thoughts flew somewhere. It is time for to humble ourselves, to really put ourselves down in front of God, and to continue. I don't say now to go and beat yourself for 5 minutes that you are so huge sinner that you cannot concentrate. Not this way, just to have one humble thought and say, Lord have mercy, and to continue. One thing connected, Patrick, you gave me another thing I almost forgot, and I wanted to mention that we have to be wise, even like there are liturgical prayers, which is communal prayer, and for example, for priest it's difficult to, when he's hit with this like thought, Pater Pio, he did it. Well, who am I, you know? but I think even like for people, in that if you are hit, I think nothing wrong if you stay with this thought, you know, like even if liturgy runs. Because, well, maybe this is what God wanted you to tell you. And those things are very precious. And what I encounter in my pastoral work or with this spiritual counseling or whatever was that people many times they complain they cannot concentrate when they pray together home. And well, because one is running a little bit faster, some is more to go slower, or there are many reasons, not only this space of prayer. But I think that many times it is like some people, they have this feeling, some kind of violence, that they know that, okay, we should pray together as a family, and the person has totally resistance against this prayer. It's not built for this prayer. And so I don't want to put down to pray together. You know, this has huge value for family. But I think that in this prayer life of family, especially of some kind of community, it should be some kind of wisdom. I think that it would be nice, while with small children is difficult because you have to take care of them, you know. But then you can continue by yourself. But especially when there are like more mature people. So it is good to pray some part together, but to let other 5-10 minutes, okay, this is our private time for prayer. Because if you pray together with a moment of awe comes, it's killed by this space because not everybody feels the same thing, one thing. And another thing is that not everybody is built for the same prayer. You know, that there are... I remember one man who, many years ago, he said that, well, he couldn't pray rosary. He just couldn't find some kind of this connection of his soul to this prayer. He was praying, but it was always difficult for him. And he told me that, well, something wrong is with me because I don't like this prayer. And so, well, what we did was, so now you are going to start to pray rosary. And I gave him to pray psalms for 2 weeks. And then another kind of prayer for another 2 weeks. Another kind of prayer for another 2 weeks. And he came with conclusion, he came and said, you know, Father, this, something, I don't remember what it was, that this fits, this is, I like that, so stay with that, you know. Everybody has some, it's the soul, each soul is unique, as we are different, each individual is different, so our prayer life is different. And the worst thing is to do to your soul some kind of violence by following like this general some kind of trend, you know, because it might not be for you. I think that to grow is in this prayer, pure prayer is important. And well, the end is silent prayer with the words in really in silence for God, you know. So, well, each prayer leads to that prayer.
Right. Wait a minute.
I know this one person had told me that she couldn't repeat the prayer over and over again, different prayers, because her mind would start to wander. So, same thing, when she did different prayers, she would be more attentive to it, paying attention to it, and then she would do a different prayer a few days afterwards, just for the attentiveness of it, because then she would be more alert to, okay, what's going to be next, or something, you know, something to that effect. But yeah, that seems to be when it's rote, sometimes it becomes just, you're just saying the words and you're not being attentive to the words.
Sure. Sure. Well, I don't want to sound like that I am now trying to destroy this, you know, some kind of traditional ways. But look, one thing is that those things should not be done like without talking to your spiritual father. If you have problem with some kind of prayer, because different things might be there. So it's not good to make experiments by yourself. Well, It's good to talk to spiritual father and to get blessing for that. So this you are protected that you are not going wrong way. But but some kind of this freedom. This was our spiritual father in seminary. He always said you are not slaves in spiritual life, and you have to be attentive, you know, to your soul and to really search what is the best path for your soul to come closer to God. If you try to follow path of your brother, so well, you are not going to heaven because you have, well, he didn't say it this way, but he said, well, it is his path to heaven. You have to find your own path. And well, there are like these general rules are there, but I think this, if we have difficulties, especially with prayer, and we try to be attentive and there are difficulties and we might have this question about if I am praying right prayers, you know, maybe this is a problem, talk to spiritual father. There might be different problems, you know, or obstacles, but, right? So what else? Yeah?
What does the word ascesis mean? Is that a form of the word asceticism?
Where do you read that?
The paragraph starting with attentiveness. It's at the very end. It's only a little sentence.
Pray for ascesis?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's this. It is all this our effort. You know, when you force your mind and your heart to be attentive to these words you are saying. You know that when you remove all these other thoughts and you try to be concentrated, this is this labor, you know, ascetical labor. So at least I understand this way. Yeah. All right, so let's continue, maybe.
The praying mind must be in a state of complete sincerity. Any kind of fantasy, no matter how attractive or seemingly beneficial, is a self-created, willful invention of the mind that leads the mind out of the state of divine truth and into a state of self-deception and delusion, and thus must be rejected in prayer.
Oh, another paragraph.
Okay. During prayer, the mind must be diligently kept free of all images that draw themselves in the imagination, because the mind in prayer is standing before the invisible God, whom it is impossible to imagine in any visible form. If images are accepted by the mind during prayer, they will become an opaque veil, a wall between the mind and God. Those who see nothing during their prayer see God, said St. Mellitus the Confessor on his work on prayer.
Yeah. So he goes a little bit further talks about this ability to be attentive to prayer. And many times we can be deceived by this, we can have these pious thoughts that we have good thoughts connected with God, with good works, with good intentions. You know, this is why I said that leave this list aside, a list over your requests or intentions. Because many times it is that we let them to flow in our mind because we don't see them as a wrong and bad. Those are holy thoughts. But still, even these thoughts are a barrier for prayer because they are a product of our mind, of our it's product of our somehow mind, you know, reason, and still we are owners of that, and they become barriers for us to go towards God. As he says that, well, if you see nothing during prayer, you see God. This is almost funny, you know, that saying that, well, if you see nothing, you see God. But we have to realize that we cannot obtain God with our mind, even with our soul. We don't have this ability. So to stand in for God with this infinitive being, supreme being. So it might be like seeing nothing. I saw a cartoon that was like, God was described like huge giant, you know, like figure, or Christ, I think was, well, anyway, standing in this robe, you know, like mountain, and there was like this little small tiny, and there was like atheist, you know, and he was like poking to this robe, and he said, God, show me where are you? God, show me where are you? You are not here. I cannot see you. He was not able to see because of this. You know, he could see only like maybe one thread in his robe. And he said, well, he sees nothing. He doesn't see God. But we are in the prayer, we are in the same somehow position that, I don't know if this comparison is good, but it might help. That we try to somehow lock God to our thoughts. It's impossible. So this is a pure prayer. It is that really it is we stand in front of something what is bigger than we are. We are not able to somehow to grasp, and it might be seen like nothing. Or many saints, they talk about this dark cloud. Or some, I think, St. John of Cross, he says, like, this is like night of soul, that soul doesn't see, but it is because it is in front of this greatness of God. But one thing is, if we reach this attentiveness, that even we reach this state somehow of when we make our mind clear of thoughts, that really we stand, we pray, and there is no barrier in form of our thoughts in mind. That I like what St. Isaac Sirian said. I don't remember which homily now, but he said that that one who pays so huge attention, you know, to its thoughts, if he reaches state, he will eat food of angels. I don't remember exactly, but Isaac, he knows how to say beautifully some things, you know, that food of angels, I think, will be eating that one who is attentive, who pays attention to the thoughts, who really keeps this direction, attention towards God. And what does it mean, this food of angels? You know, it's interesting, and he doesn't explain exactly, it's difficult, but it is something what is taste of this contact, this God's grace, maybe this first gift Brianchen was talking about. Our religious spiritual life leads to some kind of this mystical life. If Christian is not a mystic a little bit, and we should be huge mystic, each of us, so something is not right. We didn't make some kind of progress. We should, and this is a good thing, you know, and it should be good desire. Not to push it like with violence, but we should not be afraid of this and be prepared for that. Please go. All right. All right, so let's continue another one paragraph.
During your prayer, if the appearance of Christ, an angel, or some other saint seems to arise palpably or draws itself in your imagination or appears in any way, under no circumstances must you accept this vision as truth. Do not pay any attention to it. Do not begin to speak to it. Otherwise, you will become invariably fooled and be seriously spiritually damaged, which has happened to many. A person is incapable of conversing with holy spirits before the Holy Spirit renews him. As one still under the influence of the fallen spirits and in bondage to them, he is capable of seeing only them, and they often appear to such a person in the form of bright angels or as Christ himself. They see his high opinion of himself and try to use this deception to destroy his soul.
Interesting. Who saw angels? Who talked to angels? But why he's saying that? He's saying that because if we start like more intensive this prayer life and we go deeper, we have to keep these words in mind that it might happen. This is like very common temptation, especially for beginners in spiritual life, those who start with zeal and after even like for several years and they try to and they live for that, for God, they are trying. It might come through as a temptation, as a provocation from these bad invisible powers that they can present themselves as good beings, as angels. It might be some kind of vision, dreams, you know, usually, well, if those people are taken by pride, they might really destroy themselves. There were, like, especially monks who were not experienced and they became prideful. They really, many of them, they became like mad, or they kill themselves, and those things are serious, you know. But as the same thing as God's gifts are coming to us, God's grace, so even that other, this invisible world, this evil one, they proclaim war against us, and well, especially I. And it is not only like for monks. I remember when, thanks God I didn't have many, but there were priests, especially in cities, and after, like in Slovakia, after we got freedom. So what happened was that there was like part of a big amount of people, Christians, who couldn't come to the church. Because like all those, like if you work for state, some kind of this office, like mayor office and all these departments, if you were a teacher, if you had some kind of position in like in companies, you know, if you were not the director but lower, higher this, what is the name for that?
Management.
Yes. So you had to, you couldn't go to church if you, because you would not get this job. So many people, well, they said, okay, they didn't take these jobs, and they didn't get these jobs because they were, like, they were going to a church. But sometimes it was especially sometimes even like priests, they were giving these advices, take this position, you can go to a church, like to other city, maybe 1-2 hours away to another district or county where nobody knows you. And there, many of them, they were going each Sunday to different cities to stay, like not known for many. It was difficult, but because we needed even like their people, Christians, who would be, well, they would not persecute the others. They, you know, like these hidden Christians were doing a lot of good things, but they paid tax. Their spiritual life didn't go deep, you know. But when we got freedom, so many of from that group of people who couldn't come and they felt bad, they started to come and they started to like push themselves to grow very fast, you know, like to reach what they neglected to, you know, to catch up. And there were many reasons that they pushed themselves so hard that, well, it was amazing to see in many of them that what kind of ascesis they assess, ascetical life they lead, or how much they pray. And it was really impressive. But many times happened that they were not able to carry that. After a while, seeing that, well, we made this giant, great step towards God and in spiritual life and everything, and especially new literature started to come, started to be published, and people were reading that. And many times they started to feel what they read, and they were not there yet. Some, there were people who proclaimed, well, we are almost like, we reached some perfectness. And they had vision dreams. And then they say, well, to prison, well, I don't need you. I don't need confession because I'm perfect, you know. There was like, I remember, I think it was one lady, she told about Bishop Hauter, you know, Bishop Milan said, well, I don't respect him because I'm better than he is. So this temptation, and otherwise, at least what I know, she was like really praying a lot and doing all kind of good stuff, but some this she was caught in this temptation. And the same thing is with among, and if you, this is say, though, and they are not able to, it's difficult to heal that. It's difficult for priests to, or spiritual father, to heal this person, because it is quite difficult. It's like in like trap. And it's very similar when you read these things about monks and about this, about spiritual life. You can find a lot of these things that when monk makes some kind of progress and then he has this dream or vision and there is angel, he says, well, you are so great monk, you pray so much and you are almost perfect. And he is like, starts to like grow from pride, and usually these angels, false angels, says, well, you don't need to listen to your spiritual father because you are more perfect. You know, so just listen to me and I will, God send me and I will be your personal guide. And many times they ask him, they told him, you know, you can walk in air, just go. And they fell down from to the abyss, you know. And if they are lucky, if they have good spiritual father, you know, one was, I like the story that one spiritual, like elder or this superior in this brotherhood, noticed that one of his monks, he didn't come like on this regular evening to sharing of thoughts, they call that, you know, some of confession. And so he asked, you know, are you okay? I said, yeah, I'm okay. And it continued, and somehow this elder was praying for him, and then he realized, okay, he is like deluded, you know, he had some kind of. So one day he came to his like cell. He said, well, what is going on? He said, nothing. You didn't come to share. Well, I don't need that. And he said, I gave him like boom, one punch, you know, that, and said, well, are you sure? And it helped, you know. So sometimes God gives this spiritual father like strange ideas, you know. Strange ideas, yeah.
I'm going to be careful next time I come.
Next time, yeah. Well, this is my favorite joke, you know, like that somebody comes for when I was sitting in the back of church waiting like for somebody, and if somebody new is, you know, or not common, I said, can I come for confession? I said, sure, but you remember it is like Wednesday. And so, and what? Like, on Wednesday we are giving like penance with stick. Sometimes they take me like for 5 seconds, like seriously, you know, this strange look.
Holy Week, they heard hours and hours of confessions, and he had just finished 2 hours of confessions on Good Friday, and he just got back to the rectory, and some guy calls him and says, Father, can I come up and go to confession? I forgot all about it. I was in my house, and I just forgot all about it, and I want to go before. He said, okay, you can come up and I'll hear your confession, but bring 2 rosaries.
I have one quick question to ask. And I don't know if anybody else has experienced this, but if you smell, like, smells, you know, how they're, like, do you, like, smell roses or something like that, an unusual smell that is not normal when you're praying, what is that? Should we just completely try to disregard that?
Ignore that.
Ignore that, okay.
It's safe.
Okay.
You know? And it might, it, who knows, you know, but what is safe, it is that if you have some kind of this thought or this feeling, just look at your day and then you say, how can I be worthy of something like that? You know?
Nonetheless, then you start paying attention to the smell and you're distracted.
Sure.
Yeah.
So really, what purpose is that smell?
Yeah.
Serving.
Yeah, absolutely.
There is one quick for the end, a conclusion. And now I don't remember who said this. I think it was St. Paisios from Manatos. He said that if you pray, ask only for repentance, only and only for repentance, because from repentance, humility comes. Yeah. And humility is followed with God's grace, and God's grace gives you everything what you need, or people who need your prayer need. So repentance, humility, and we are safe, not only in our spiritual life, but we are safe in front of these evil powers and smells. Yeah. All right, thank you very much.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. Please share it with those who might like to be enriched by this teaching of Holy Bishop Ignatius. If you live in our area, we would love if you could join us for our study in person on Monday nights at 7 p.m. at St. Nicholas Byzantine Catholic Church in Barberton, Ohio. Thank you, and God bless.